Well, I'd like to speak for a few minutes this morning on this subject, your mother and God. Your mother and God. And for just a few minutes, I want to make my case that even before we were born, our mothers and God were in partnership to create us in her womb. There's nobody quite like a mother. I had a great mother. She's with the Lord now. She whispered the name Jesus when I was sick and I was healed. I honor her memory today. I'm married to a great mother. I don't know of a more incredible mother than my wife is to our two daughters. So I honor you this morning. Somehow a mother can hear a child cry when the father never hears it and sleeps right through it. That's the kind of mother my daughters are blessed to have. A mother who had 12 children was asked, which one do you love the most? And the mother said, the one who is sick until he gets well. The one who is away until he gets back home. That's the love of a mother. And in recent weeks, I've been talking on Sunday mornings about being useful to God. And the Bible says this phrase, sanctified and useful. I mentioned last week that it's one thing to be loved by God, one thing to be blessed by God, all of us are, but it's another thing altogether to be used by God. And it's shocking when you think about it as mere mortals that God created us for His purposes so that we could be used by God. He had that in His mind when He was forming us in our mother's womb. In Psalm 139, the New Living Translation, beginning with verse 13, reads like this, David praying to God. He said, you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. This was going on in partnership before you were born, a partnership between your mother and God. Verse 14, David said, thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God. They cannot be numbered. Now, God was up to all of that. God and your mother, while you were still being created in the womb. Over and over in Scripture, we have biblical facts that confirm repeatedly that God did not wait until we were born to decide He had a purpose and a use for us. Jeremiah, the prophet, said in chapter 1, verse 5, God speaking to Jeremiah said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Moses, we know that's true about him. David, the great king, we know that God had a purpose for him and revealed it while he was in the womb. The apostle Paul said it like this in the book of Acts. He said, God set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. How powerful for God to speak to us today and say, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. But today we want to look, as we follow this theme, a little deeper, talking about your mother and God and the partnership the two of them had in your creation. We will look at Isaiah chapter 49. Here's yet another prophet who had this revelation and speaks to this issue. In chapter 49 of Isaiah, beginning with verse 1, the prophet says, "Listen, O coastlands, to me, and take heed, you peoples from afar. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the matrix of my mother, he has made mention of my name." I'm going to explain that in just a minute. "Made mention of my name. And he has made my mouth like a sharp sword." Now, this is while we're still in the womb. "Made my mouth like a sharp sword." While still in the womb, "in the shadow of his hand, he has hidden me and made me a polished shaft." While still in the womb, "in his quiver, he has hidden me." All of this going on in partnership between your mother and God while you were still being created in your mother's womb. This is how fixated God was on knitting purpose and usefulness and destiny into each of us before we were ever born. Your purpose was established first, and then your birth took place to fulfill it. Your purpose was established first, and then your birth took place to fulfill it. God has a specific purpose for each one of us. And before we are born, he knows what our sphere of influence is to be and exactly what impact we are to make on our world. He knows all that about us while he's still creating us in partnership with our mothers. Your mother and God work together. Now listen, here's what's even hilarious about that. Your mother and God were in partnership before you were born, and many times your mama didn't even know it. Isn't that hilarious? Even your birth mother may not have been fully aware that she and God were working together, as God was so involved in knitting together who we were going to be even before the day we were born. Now, in this scripture here in Isaiah 49, the phrase "made mention of," that's a poor translation in the King James Version. In the original Hebrew, it does not mean he made mention of. The scripture says he made mention of my name while I was still in the womb. He made mention of my name. That phrase "made mention of" means God focused his full attention on. Just imagine that, how valuable you must be to God. That while he was creating you in your mother's womb, there was that moment in eternity that he focused his full attention on creating you to be the person you would be when you were born. He knew you at that level before you were born. He focused his full attention. Everybody that's ever been born, while we were in our mother's womb, God focused his full attention. That's why David the psalmist said, "You have wonderfully and beautifully made me. I am your workmanship, and you have made me marvelously." And then the word "name," he made mention of my name. He focused his full attention on my name. The word "name" is the Hebrew word "shem," and it's Strong's concordance number H8034. It really doesn't mean name. The Bible is not saying here, God called me Carl while I was in my mother's womb, or Joe, or Sarah, or Judy, or Vi, or Steve, or Grayson, or Brenda, or Lawrence. Not that kind of name. The word name in the Hebrew means character, individuality, and renown. In other words, what the scripture really says right here, when your mother and God were in partnership and He was creating you before you were born, knowing you, it literally means there was a time when you were being formed in your mother's womb that God focused His full attention on your character, your individuality, and He knew even at that moment what you would be renowned for in your life. Individuality. Just think of it. I have one brother and one sister. There are the three of us. And if that's for me, I'm not here. I'll have to call him back. There is me, I'm the oldest, then my sister Deborah, and then our brother Mike. Three of us. Now here's how good God is when it comes to He focused His full attention on our individuality and character. He did all this before we were born. He knew us that well back then before anybody in the world ever took one look at us. But there's me and Deborah and Mike, the three of us, we have the same mother and the same father. But we are different. Because for me and for Deborah and for Mike, even though we have the same mother and the same father, God's partnership with our mother in creating and forming us, He focused on making me an individual a little different from Deborah and Mike. He focused on making Deborah an individual a little different. He focused on making Mike a little different as an individual. Isn't it amazing? We can have the same mother and same father and yet be different. Well, how can that be? Because of God's partnership with your mother. He's the one that got involved and focused His full attention. He said, I want Carl to be peculiar like that. Now, between the three of us, Deborah is the prettiest. There was that time God was so focused on fixing Deborah and creating her and knitting her together. His full attention was focused on the individual character Deborah would be in her life. And He said, I'm going to make her prettier than her brothers. Deborah, that's your Mother's Day present right there. My Lord. Now, if we will listen carefully again at some of the terminology in Isaiah 49 as it speaks to the partnership God made with your mother when He was creating you in her womb, it's the metaphor of a bow and arrow. In fact, this is what a bow and arrow looks like. We all know what that looks like. Now, today it is a hobby. Some sportsmen are skilled at it, and they go hunting with a bow and arrow to kill their game and to drag it home and skin it and let mama cook us up some supper. But in ancient days when this was written, the bow and arrow was a weapon system, the best of its day, perhaps. And there was an art and a skill to learning how to execute the bow and arrow as a weapon. Now, when Isaiah is describing what God was doing to create him in his mother's womb, it takes on the metaphor of the bow and arrow. Now, there's a difference between the Hebrew and the Greek language. And those of you who are theologians and Bible college students, many of you, dozens of you, have accomplished some class learning even here through Christian Life School of Theology. And we have International School of Ministry coming this summer, and so you can get in on that and become a scholar at some level. But you will learn early on. I mean, this is Bible 101. Difference between Hebrew and Greek. First of all, the Hebrew language is the Old Testament language. The Greek language is the first major language that the New Testament was translated into. And then the big year was 1611 when King James of England commissioned a few dozen of the best scholars and geniuses of his day to translate into English the Old Testament from Hebrew, the New Testament from Greek. But one difference between the Hebrew Old Testament and the Greek New Testament is this. In the Old Testament, the Hebrew language is a pictorial language. When people speak Hebrew, and I don't, I cannot read Hebrew. I do have two or three friends who read Hebrew out of books. One was Dr. Charles Galdon, who was teaching here in Christian Life School of Theology a few years ago, and he's here for 4 days, you know, and I went over to his hotel room, pick him up, take him out to lunch on one of those days, and he was reading a book, and I looked and I said, Charles, what language is, and he was reading a book written in the Hebrew language. Well, he's a professor at Southeastern University in Lakeland, Florida, where he teaches Old Testament survey from the Hebrew language, but I am told by those who know that in the Old Testament Hebrew language, if you can't see the picture, you really don't get the message. And so Isaiah here was painting a picture with words in the Hebrew language. And he said things like this: while I was in the matrix of my mother, God focused his full attention on my individuality, my character, and my renown. And while I was in the womb, he made my mouth like a sharp sword. Notice the point on that bow and arrow there. On the arrow, the tip of the arrowhead is a sharp point. Look how sharp. And that's the picture Isaiah was painting with words in Hebrew when he said, while I was in my mother's womb, God made my mouth like a sharp sword. Now, the sharp sword is the message of your life. Everyone has a different life's message, a calling from God. Now, you're called. Listen, there was a time even when I was younger when if somebody was called, when they said, oh, there's a calling on my life, everybody assumed you had to preach. But that's not true at all. There are people who are just as called to be doctors or nurses or teachers or salesmen. Are plumbers. D.L. Moody, one of the great preachers of the past 2,000 years, was a shoe salesman. Smith Wigglesworth, who has documented raising 14 people from the dead, including his wife. This was a century ago almost. He was a plumber. So God knew what we would be. He knew our renown. He created us. He knew how individual we would be in character. And part of what he was doing is giving our life a message. The message, the making of our mouth to become a sharp sword. The sword refers to the Word in the New Testament. The Word of God is the sword of the Spirit. And so while we're in our womb, we are called and our life takes on a message. God puts a point to our life. We don't just be born and grow a little and randomly stumble into our life's calling or our life's work. Now, we may become more aware of it on any given day in our life, but the truth is, the point of our life, the reason we were born, the purpose of our life's message was put in us while we were in the womb. A sword, a sharp sword. That's what our mouth was created to be while we were in our mother's womb. And a sharp sword is what the Word of God itself is referred to in the New Testament. The Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. That means the Word is sharp when God speaks it into us. And after it does its work in us, we speak it out and it's sharp again. It's a double-edged sword. It cuts surgically as we receive it into us, as God speaks His Word to us. And then it works in us, and when we speak it forth, there's a point to our life, there's a message to our life, and when we speak God's Word back out from the inside of us, it's sharp going out like it was sharp coming in. God puts a point to your life. And then now back to the picture of the bow and arrow. You'll notice that the arrowhead, the tip, that's the message of your life. God is one day, sometime during our lifetime, He's going to take this arrow and put it in His bow, and He's going to pull back the bow on His string, and He's going to release us into our destiny. And He is going to so prepare us for that moment in our life that when He launches us, the message of our life, the point of our life, will hit its target and not miss the mark. He knew all this when He was in partnership with your mother while we were being formed. He knew what the tip of your life, the point of your life would be. And He knew the target to which He would aim. But now notice, there's the arrowhead. That's your life's message. That's the purpose. God was sharpening that. He was giving you a word. Your life has a word, a message. And He was fixating that while we were still in our mother's womb. But notice, there's the bow. There's this long shaft that follows the arrowhead. Now, I don't know much about much, but I know if it wasn't for that long rod or that long shaft attached to the, you could put that in a bow and pull on the string and it would fall to the floor. It would never hit the target. By the way, the Greek definition for sin is to miss the mark. So God has your life's message. He was given, you were given it in the womb. That's the arrowhead there. And He's going to release you. And you're going to hit the target He intends. But that arrowhead would not go far at all if there was not a shaft. And Isaiah said, He made me a polished shaft. Now, if I were to use military terms today, and they are archaic because we have nuclear rocket launchers now and all of that, but that's a weapons delivery system right there. That's how we would describe it in military terms today. Right here, the bow and arrow with the arrowhead and the shaft. Now, the arrowhead is your life's message, your purpose. The shaft refers to your character. And when Isaiah said, He made me a polished shaft, centuries ago, those who made bow and arrow, they would spend a lot of time on the shaft. Because it began with a piece of wood. It had to be sanded down. It had to be smoothed and polished. Or else it would be crooked when it was delivered. When the hunter would pull back on the bow and release the arrow, then it would go in every direction unless the shaft were perfect, polished. All of the knots and the gnarls had to be sanded out. Now, God was doing all of this when he was focusing his entire attention on creating you to be the wonderful and marvelous individual in character that you are. And he did it while you were still in your mother's womb. He made me a polished shaft. The shaft attached to the tip of the arrow is a critical part of the weapon delivery system. If there's a problem with the shaft, the arrowhead will not hit its target. Therefore, it will miss the mark, which is sin. Sin is missing the mark. All the rough spots, the crooked places of our life, God went to work on that, straightening it out, giving our life a polish, even while we were still in our mother's womb. The arrowhead represents the rhema word in you, your life's message, your purpose. The shaft of the arrow represents your character. And then it's right here where Isaiah the prophet said, in the shadow of his hand he hid me. We were hidden in the shadow of God's hand while he was polishing us, putting a shine, putting a polish to our purpose, all before the day we were born. I love the partnership between your mother and God on Mother's Day. Now, God, while we're in the shadow of his hand, we were still in the womb when he was doing this, hiding us in the shadow of his hand. He was shaping us into his instrument of delivery, giving us something to give the world in his purpose, according to his plan for our life. And then you would think, after he has made our mouth sharp like a sword while he was creating us, and he made us a polished shaft to go with the arrow so that we could hit the target, when he's finished polishing us and putting a shine on us, and we're still yet in our mother's womb, you would think, well, I'm about ready now. I'm ready. I'm ready for God to release me and launch me into my purpose, because after all, I got it. He's given me a word. I got a word. He's given me a message. I've got a message. He's given me a purpose. Oh, I got a good one. And he's polished me up. I'm shining about right now. I'm ready to be released and launched. But no. Isaiah said, you're still being prepared, not ready for the limelight. God has yet one more stage, and that's when he sticks you down in his quiver. Now, here's what a quiver looks like. You've seen it. It's something that usually is strapped on the shoulder of the hunter or the archer, and that's where he keeps all of his arrows. After they've been sharpened, there's a point to each arrow. After the shaft has been polished and all of the crooked places sanded out, now it's perfect in symmetry and it can do the job. But instead of God at that point releasing you, he sticks you in his quiver. Now, that's the most frustrating thing of all. Do you know what it's like to have a sense of, I know why God's put me on earth. I know the purpose, at least in part of my life. I know what my destiny is called to be. I know the difference I'm to make while I'm alive in the world. And God has given me that, and I'm aware of that, and he's put a point to my life. There's a purpose for me being here, and I know it. I got a handle on that. And there's some polish and some shine about me now. I'm ready to be released. God said, no, I'm going to put you in my quiver with some other arrows I have prepared. Now, the tip of the arrow is down in that quiver, rubbing against all the other arrows. That's where iron is sharpening iron. Now, the quiver is God's waiting room. I know what that's like. I worked for another man in ministry for 12 years and loved every day of it. And I knew that was a season, and it was all right for me if it lasted my whole life. But every now and then, I would get an overwhelming awareness that, God, I know I've got to answer for more than this. I'm having way too much fun. I know life can't be all like this. I know, God, you got something else probably. And there was the sense of, and then the clearer my purpose became to me. Now, don't get me wrong. God knew it clearly before I was born. It takes me and you sometimes a while to bring clarity to our own purpose. But there were times during those 12 years of me waiting in God's waiting room when my quiver or me as an arrow was in his waiting room, in his quiver, banging around with some other quivers in there. You know, I believe this is the church, actually. I believe God's quiver is the church. That's why every one of them, not just me or Pastor Steve or a few others, but every one of us in here is highly called. You see, we're saved and called. We're saved and called. Paul said it that way. Who saved us and called us. So if you're saved, you also are called. But every one of us has a sense of calling. But yet God leaves us in the church. He keeps us in his quiver a long time. And never should we ever detach from the church. Many are doing that today. It's a popular thing. Don't need church. Well, there's no scripture that says that. In fact, there's plenty that says the opposite. And so God keeps you. We're his waiting room. Now, what happens in here? Well, we get sharpened. Because we bump into somebody else's iron. It don't feel good while the bump is going on. But it does sharpen you nonetheless. And so that can be frustrating. Be patient and trust God with the timing of your launch and the timing of your release. Oh, he definitely will put the tip, the point of your life that he created while you were in your mother's womb, and the polished shaft he's put a shine to, he will put it in his bow, and he will pull that string, and he will launch and release you into destiny, but he will wait until he knows you're going to hit the target and not miss the mark. Until then, it's God's waiting room. Even Jesus had to wait in the Father's quiver for 30 years. 30 years he was hidden under the shadow of the Father's hand. Hidden. But then the Bible says when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son. And how many of you know he hit the target? He didn't miss the mark. When the fullness of time had come, God put his own son Jesus in the bow and released and launched him. There was a purpose, a point to his life, a life message, a destiny that the Father had given him. There was a polish and a shine, and he had spent 30 years in the Father's quiver waiting. And then finally, the fullness of time came. In the Hebrew, the word for wait means to be bound and wrapped and intertwined with God and his purpose. The word wait means to be bound and wrapped and intertwined with God and his purpose. And while we're in the quiver, we come of age. We mature. We take on a readiness And God knows when the fullness of time comes. Now, there's a difference between being a child and being a son. And the word son there is generic. It's not gender specific in Scripture. It says son, but it could be a son or a daughter. There's a difference between being a child and a son. You can study this out in Scripture. A child is immature and unfit to possess an inheritance. Immature. That's why Paul said, you know, when I was a child, I acted like one. I behaved like a child should behave. But when I became a man, I threw away childish things. So it's in the quiver when we are bar mitzvahed, if you will. We come of age. We mature. We know who our father is before we are selected for usefulness from the quiver God has. And we become a son now. That's why Paul said in Galatians, "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave until the time appointed by the Father." Isn't that amazing? Now I'm getting all kind of revelation going all up in here on Mother's Day. I take it personally right now. I take these two verses from Isaiah personally. If he did that for Isaiah, he did it for Carl. While I was still being formed in my mother's womb, my mother and God entered into a partnership to produce me into the world. And God was the major investor there. God is the one who said, "I will knit you together. I will weave you together. I am going to focus my full attention on creating you to be the individual and the person of character that I want you to be. Before you're ever born," God said, "I'm going to put a tip on your life, a life's message, a purpose for you in your life. I'm going to do it now before you're born. It's already in you," God said. "I'm going to give you a word to speak to your generation. You're going to make a difference in the world. I know your sphere of influence, and I know what I want you to accomplish in that realm during your life, so I'm going to go ahead and weave all of that in you. Your mama and I are working together on this. And I'm going to put some polish and some shine on your life too. You're going to look like you're ready way before you are. But now when you're born, I'm going to take all that I've done and I'm going to put it in my quiver with some other arrows I'm sharpening and I'm preparing for usefulness. And I will know when the time is right. And there's going to be a day in your life," God says, "I'm going to reach into my quiver." That's the church where all of my arrows get together and bang into one another and get the rough edges sanded off of the point of their life. God says there's going to be a day in your life I'm going to reach back there and I'm going to lay my hand on you specifically, and I'm going to take you out of that waiting room, and I'm going to put you in my bow, and I'm going to stretch that string, and I'm going to aim your life where I want you to make a difference, and I'm going to launch you and release you, and you're going to hit the target. God says you're not going to miss your life's mark. He determined all that while we were in mama's womb. Thank God for the partnership between your mother and God. Now stand if you will. Everybody stand. Here's how we're going to do it today. We're going to pray corporately, and then we're going to dismiss you to go and enjoy a great Mother's Day, however you've planned to do that. But here's what we're going to do before we pray. We're going to pray corporately and then be released. I mean, there's going to be people stampeding for the door in 2 minutes. But hey, this is important first. this prayer is going to be corporate and it's going to be charged with faith, and so I expect it to produce results. I mean, why waste your time praying if you don't expect prayer to produce results? No time for playing games. So I want to hear from some of you later today or this coming week. I want you to send me an email if God answers a prayer in your life as a result of this closing prayer today. You can go to our website, alcflorence.com. You can contact me there or directly to my email address, ablife@aol.com. And let the subject line say, God's been good to me. And I'll know. I'll know God has answered a prayer, that God has answered this prayer. So, you don't even have to close your eyes, but pray out loud after me with great faith. Let's pray like this. Are you ready? Yes.
Dear Lord Jesus,
while I was in my mother's womb,
you partnered with my mother.
You gave me a life's message.
And even as of today,
I am in the waiting room. But you have a plan for me. And a purpose for my life. And you have not changed your mind.
So in a fresh way,
I give myself to you.
I am your servant.
I say to you today,
speak, Lord,
for your servant heareth.
And I have needs in my life.
And you know everyone.
But in great faith,
I am praying right now
for you to meet my needs,
for you to deliver me,
for you to heal my body,
for you to prosper me,
for you to open a door for me
that I've not been able to open.
I need a miracle,
and you know what I need,
and I pray today
in Jesus' name
that you will meet me
where I am,
at my level of need,
and deliver me
out of this place.
And I will honor you
and give you glory
for all you have done for me.
In Jesus' name.
Now send me an email and give me a good report.
Give God a hand for what He's doing.
God bless you. Happy Mother's Day.